Hello, everybody. Welcome back into your latest episode of Locked On Suns for a Locked On Podcast Network. Today, as always, your host, Evan Sider, and joined by co-host Brendan Clean. You can follow me on Twitter at eSider. You can follow Brendan on Twitter at BrendanClean14. As far as Locked On Suns Twitter page, if not already, at Locked On PHX Suns. Your support is very much appreciated, as always. And our title sponsor today's show is Built Bar. As Brendan had talked to you about for over a month now about how good Built Bars are, they are really a protein bar, tastes just like a candy bar. Go to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order of Built Bars. So, Brendan, this is going to be another news dump segment because there's a lot more buzz around the NBA leading into maybe possibly resuming in mid to late July. And for all Suns fans and NBA fans, that's music to our ears because that means we're one step closer to the basketball coming back.
100%. I mean, it's exciting. It's the first, I think it was Zach Lowe who basically just said, like, this week saw the first public official steps forward. And to think that the season was postponed 10 weeks ago to only now be getting any sort of first public step forward, I mean, better late than never, I guess, is the way to look at it. But it's looking more and more. ESPN's Ramona Shelburne sort of put into an official report what I think a lot of people had assumed by now, but with a statement from Mike Bass, who's the PR communications director for the NBA, it said the NBA, in conjunction with the Players Association, is engaged in exploratory conversations with Walt Disney Company about restarting the season in late July at the Wide World of Sports in Florida, where the NBA would play games, practice, and be housed. And then he said, of course, the priority continues to be the health and safety, and that's sort of why they're still pushing it out and not going forward immediately. What do you think of, I mean, we've probably talked about Disney World pretty much every time we've done these news updates, but it sort of surprised me how when everything really shut down and we started talking about a bubble type of concept, and I mean, all the way back in April, if not earlier, it felt like Vegas was a shoe-in. And now things have flipped and it really seems like Orlando's the place. I mean, it's bigger. It's more secluded. There's a whole lot of, I think, the partnership between Disney and the NBA by way of ESPN broadcasting the league's games. All that stuff came into play. But just how surprised are you that it ended up being Orlando instead of Vegas?
Yeah, when you put it in those terms, I think it makes a lot more sense because we've both been to Summer League before in Las Vegas and those arenas. And it gets pretty crammed in there once you start to talk about just capacity, but in the coronavirus situation, obviously be empty, but there's a lot more, I think, space to move around at Orlando. And you look at just the convenience of it used to be for the Orlando Summer League. They've added on to it with the ESPN. I think 250 plus acres is what is Disneyland is on in the sports worldwide complex they have there. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, 220 is what Shelburne had, but yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Ton of land.
Yeah, ton of land for sure. And it really just shows you that Orlando is a spot that could really be in this situation, a perfect location because they don't have to move it all from that spot and they could do multiple games in a day, which sounds like it could be the concept, almost like a summer league.
Yeah, it sounds like they're going to try to basically, if they move forward with the regular season or even just the first early rounds of the playoffs, it sounds like we're going to get into some of those concepts in the next segment, but it sounds like they would be doing some kind of summer league type schedule where you're games starting up noon Eastern and going all the way through into the end of the night, which, I mean, that's like we miss March Madness, and I would love just entire days full of NBA games after days and weeks and months of none at all. That sounds pretty awesome. But the other thing under consideration here from the league, actually coming from the teams to the league, which is another, I think, sign that things are changing. They're really starting to feel like they need to get their plans in place here. And some, you know, I think another reason Orlando is, if we're being honest, the front runner now is Florida has been much more aggressive than most of the rest of the country getting things opened up. So the UFC has already gone down there as we're talking right now. The golf stuff is going on. It sounds, I mean, wrestling, world wrestling entertainment never stopped. So that all, I think, is why Florida is sticking out here. But teams that aren't in that position from their local markets are now talking to the league to try to figure out, you know, can we just go straight to Florida? Because like the example they gave is Toronto. Since that's in another country, of course, it's unique, but they are in the playoffs. They're going to be involved in whatever scenario happens. And Woj basically explained, like, Kyle Lowry's in Philadelphia where he's from. He's working out. He would have to fly under the NBA's current plan, fly to Toronto, quarantine for 2 weeks, lose a lot of progress, obviously, physically, because he's not able to work out. And then, you know, within a couple of weeks of the end of that quarantine, now he's flying right back to Orlando, where he would then quarantine again. Like, it starts to get very painful and obnoxious. So I do think this will happen. Do you think if the league budges on this and starts to let guys go straight to Florida right now, that we might get this thing started up sooner? It feels like if you cut out that middle time of everybody flying to their local market, we could push this up a little bit. Maybe it's more in the mid-July version than the late July version.
Yeah, maybe even earlier, honestly, because if you do go about this and let's say June 1st is a report time to Orlando in a week, or maybe a little bit more grace time than that, June 8th, a week afterwards, give those guys a 2 week ramp up period in Florida until late June. And you could have this going in early July if you want to, right around July 4th, the holiday. I imagine that'd be a huge ratings boom as well. I think it makes a lot of sense to go about Orlando and maybe get this thing started more than usual. Because, I mean, we've seen Suns players on their social media accounts, and we talked to Frank Kaminsky over conference call on Zoom call, and they've been all, a lot of them have been going back to Madhouse and McDowell because Talks to Resort is currently under construction. So I think the players are getting a little antsy, and I think us as fans are getting a little antsy too, because I think the concept makes a lot of sense. When we were mentioning cutting out that time, I think would be well worth it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think to me, it seems like it couldn't, I don't know. I don't want to jump the gun, but it does sound like they want, you know, even if you cut out the travel, it sounds like they're wanting, about 2 weeks of training camp in a team's market and then another 2 weeks once they get to Orlando. So altogether, it sounds like they want a month of practices. And then it sounds like they're also talking about some scrimmages. So either way, I mean, we'll get basketball news, we'll get basketball games of some sort, practices, whatever, happening. It's just a matter of when the real games start. And, you know, honestly, to me, like, this guy pulled his hamstring and he's not going to practice for a few days. I'm even ready to start hearing that news. I'm done with the complete darkness right now. But yeah, why don't we jump into some of those structures in the next segment?
Yeah, I know this is a quicker segment. We're going to dive into the meat of the show here, diving into the scenarios and some more Suns angles as far as how this could impact them. Before we do so, I want to remind you guys about our sponsor today's show, which is Built Bar, which is the best protein bar ever. It has 16 amazing flavors, 8 chocolate nut flavors, and 8 chocolate nut-free flavors. The bars are covered 100% chocolate, and they're soft and easy to chew. The Built Bar is also for a health-conscious guy out there who wants to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein. And for example, a peanut butter brownie, 20 grams protein, 170 calories, and only 3 grams of sugar. That's one of my favorite ones out there as well. Me and Brent, I've also sampled them a lot. That's definitely up there as far as one of my top choices. So get on the action, Suns fans, with Built Bar. Go to BiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, and get $10 off your first order of Built Bars. Use promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, for $10 off at BiltBar.com.
We got one more thing I got to add. News came down from the top here over the weekend. If you order on Monday, when you'll be listening to this episode, you get a free pack of their energy drink mix on top of whatever order you do. That's their Memorial Day special. They are trying to get you guys to also try their drinks, which I had one of. They're very good. Again, very light, very straight to the point. It's just a little bit of energy there, a little bit of hydration, nothing big. But a free pack of their assorted energy drink mixes for everybody that orders on Monday.
All right, let's dive in now to segment 2, Brennan, diving into these scenarios that could play out. What's the most intriguing that you saw listed?
Yeah, well, it sounds like from what Shams Charania reported at The Athletic, that the league is, it sounds very repetitive, I guess, to say the league is still looking at a whole bunch of things, but I think that's really just still where we are. We're obviously moving forward with the where and the when, but the what is maybe the most important part and the least figured out part. I must imagine it's what the league office and the teams, the owners will be working on, voting on, discussing, negotiating over the course of the next couple weeks as the teams start to get together and practice. But it sounds like these are the scenarios. I'll try to condense them as much as possible. The most simple one, advancing directly to the playoffs. Every team in the playoffs, all 16, eight from each conference, play all through the regular postseason. So four rounds, every series is best of seven, pretty much exactly the playoffs as we know them, but cutting off the end of the regular season. The other one would be a playoffs plus option, from what it sounds like. So that could be either a play-in to get into the playoffs, maybe replacing the first round with a group stage, sort of like, you know, soccer tournaments do. Then there's also within that, okay, maybe you're doing that playoffs plus how many teams, somewhere between 18 and 24 might be involved in that sort of scenario. It's a little interesting to me because the West and the East are so different, which I think we'll get into with the standings and how it affects the Suns. And then the regular season stuff. So either you just play out the rest of the whole regular season all the way up to 82, or maybe somewhere maybe around 70, or combinations of all this. So you could do some regular season games and a play-in, some regular season and the traditional playoffs. So I think the most interesting to me, I don't really, because I don't personally care about the local TV money that seems to be the impetus for these teams wanting to get to 70 regular season games. I don't really have any reason to care about that. I would be most excited about a play into the playoffs, some version, whether it's group, a tournament. I don't know how exactly it would work, but something like that. I mean, I've been on board with that for a while. It was discussed even before this season as a possibility down the line. And I think that would be a ton of fun. I think it'd be an awesome way to start things back up. You get to see some of the teams, like we get to see Zion again, maybe the Suns, a lot of these teams that, you know, we're not superstar laden, but I still enjoy watching those guys. So I think that's what I'm leaning toward if I was engineering this whole thing. But how about you?
Honestly, I was right on board there with you. That's what I was going to mention, because I think the play-in tournament, not only from a viewing standpoint, but a Sun standpoint, I think it makes so much sense, because you could have, let's say, the Memphis Grizzlies, who would be the eighth seed there, but you could have the four teams in the West below them, the Trailblazers, the Pelicans, the Kings, the Spurs, and the Suns. Maybe you have some sort of a four or five team play-in scenario there that you could really involve those bottom four teams that are all closer together and have them go against Memphis or something like that on a tournament format, to maybe have the rights to the eight seed to go against the Clippers or the Lakers, whoever they end up standing up on top of that conference at the end there. Same you could go for East with the Orlando at the eight seed, needing to throw in the Wizards, Hornets, Bulls, Knicks. I think it's a fun concept. I think it makes an awful lot of sense and just brings those outside of the lottery or outside of the playoff picture, excuse me, really more exposure and really a chance when a lot of teams didn't think that was even possible.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I think it really is tough, and I think they're going to have to really just listen to the people that are on these organizations at the bottom of the middle to bottom of the standings. Like, do the Suns? I mean, that's a perfect example. They're sort of on the edge of, is it worth it to bring them out to something like this or not? And I think you just have to really listen and involve them in the decision making process, because I agree. I think, you know, it. Even if you just think of it as at a fan level, like we've heard and we've, you know, you and I have done a news show like every week, if not more than once a week, updating people, following the latest stuff. I know fans are doing the same. Have that excitement. And then we finally get to this point where stuff is coming back and we're making headway toward playing games in the NBA again. And then, you know, half the league's fan bases are just disappointed because they don't get to be involved. And then it's just another month or two of waiting until really the draft and all of that starts to shape up. So that part of it would be disappointing. And obviously the players as well, like, you know, plenty of players that I love to watch would not be involved if it was just the regular season and their seasons would just be effectively over. They've probably been trying to stay in shape and, you know, meeting with their teammates and doing all the things that they can do. And then for them to be like, you know, just kidding, go back home. It would be disappointing. I don't think everybody can or should be involved, but I do think some sort of middle ground makes the most sense. Because we were at a point in the season where a lot of these teams were still statistically alive, especially in the West. So I think telling them all that their season is done would just suck. You know, you're already losing so much money, and now you're losing the opportunity to even have a successful year. That would be disappointing. A couple of the other things I wanted to point out, and then I have a question for you too, but the limited expansion of the rosters, maybe one or three additional roster spots, that interested me. That was from Shams as well. It would just be very difficult difficult, I feel like, for these teams to find guys at this point. It's not like there's a G League season going on or any overseas leagues or anything. They really, to just drop this on them and now all of a sudden they're trying to find players. That seems maybe like it could have been put out there earlier if it was going to work, but we'll see. Expanding playoff rosters, again, maybe like they do in baseball, and then maybe allowing two-way players to be eligible for the playoffs. I think the ugly part of that suggestion from the league is, unfortunately, I think they're also sort of preparing for the fact that guys might test positive for the coronavirus during the games. You know, baseball has said they might have rosters be as big as 50 for their season if they can pull it off, and it's for the same reason. Unfortunately, we're just going to have to deal with here and there. Guys are going to test positive and not be able to play. And if you're limiting rosters, then you're really handicapping these teams. But my question for you was, I guess, what do you think of that possibility? But also, I think a lot of what fans have been talking about on Twitter, Evan, is, especially with the Suns, because they are on that really razor's edge, is what do you think, like, if you were, let's say, Mikal Bridges, would you want to go do this? Would you want to do all of the insane prep and the loneliness of quarantining and the work that it's going to take and travel and all that to go back to play, knowing that you're A, probably not going to make the playoffs, and B, you are almost certainly not going to win a championship? Would you want to do it?
Yeah, that's a good question. Honestly, for the competitor in me, and I imagine the players out there too, I think I would do it, just because even though there is a small margin of probability that we make the playoffs or that the Suns go on to make a run with in a play-in scenario, I think just the small chance alone would get anyone, especially like the Suns franchise, fired up of the possibility that maybe there's a 2% chance we make the playoffs for the first time in a decade. And I think that would just be an interesting way to go about it. And I know it's a lot of prep work. It's a lot of a unique time, of course, out there with the coronavirus and how it's evolving in sports. But if I were on the roster, on any roster, if I were the Phoenix Suns and there's an opportunity there, even though it's a small chance of making any headway or noise nationally, I would go about and do it, just because that small chance won't entice me enough.
To me, it's like the teams like the Warriors and stuff, I get, you know, they're very injured. They're really just like a glorified G League roster. There's some at the bottom of the East. The Knicks are really, you know, kind of a motley crew of guys like Mo Harkless and, you know, just this random group of players who ended up there after the trade deadline and on 1-year deals. And there are teams that I could see it not being worth it for. And it doesn't really sound, it sounds like the league is, I don't know. It sounds like they're trending more, I guess, just more of the total possibilities that Shams listed off in his report involve not the whole league. Like only two of the, you know, five or six options that general managers were pulled on, according to Shams, even include the whole league coming back. So it just sounds like the trend is toward some abbreviated version of this thing. And I see it, like, are we really going to have Klay Thompson try to come back off of that ACL tear in the middle of this situation? It doesn't seem safe. It just is kind of seems silly. So some rosters like the Suns, I totally think it makes sense. Others, maybe not quite as much. But I think as a fan, I want to see as much basketball and as much high level basketball as possible. So whatever they think can include that, I'm all game for, whether that's condensing it and making it more exciting or expanding it if they think they can, and making it as close to the full season we missed out on as possible. But let's get into the Sun side of it a little more, considering we are already hinting at that. Before that, though, just a quick reminder, wherever you're listening, hit that follow button, that subscribe button. Be right there with us. We are closer to basketball. We're getting news from the Suns. We're seeing guys work out. It's very exciting. And then right after that, it'll be nonstop. I mean, once this thing comes back, we're not going to shut down until the end of the 2021 season. Like, this is going to be constant basketball. So we are excited. We know you are too. Come for the ride along with us. Want to also tell you guys about Blinkist, an ultimate life hack, a secret weapon. That is how they describe themselves. And I cannot say that I disagree. I mean, I know that our listeners are very keen on everything you need to know condensed down, right? Exactly the right amount of time for a workout, for a walk, for a commute. I know people are going back to work, so we're getting into our normal groove again. Blinkist can really help with that. Very unique. They take the best key takeaways, the need to know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condense that down into just 15 minutes. You can either read it or listen to it. 12 million people across the world are using Blinkist right now and taking advantage of their massive and growing library, from self-help to business to health, even to history books. I like Blinkist because, honestly, what I think is the best part of this thing is they have the newest books as well. Like, it's not this library of stuff you don't care about that they're, you know, trying to convince you to like. Like, I wouldn't be vouching for this if there were not books that I was interested in myself. I've mentioned The Sports Gene by David Epstein, very much a must read for sports fans. Goes into the psychology of athletes. I got it for my stepdad for Christmas. He really enjoyed it as well. Becoming by Michelle Obama. I know they made a documentary about her on Netflix recently. Maybe read or get the Blinkist, the Spark Notes, as Evan likes to say, version of that book through Blinkist. A lot of new stuff in addition to the classics. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to that massive library, all the books you want, all for one low price. Right now, to take advantage of our special offer for our Locked On Suns audience, go to Blinkist.com/NBA. Try it for free for 7 days and then save 25% off of your first subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled BLINKIST.com/NBA to start your 7-day free trial. And you'll also save 25%, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA. I guess I'll ask you the same question, Evan. I know I give it like a hypothetical. When it comes to the Suns specifically, do you think it makes sense for this organization to get back into whatever version this NBA season takes?
I think so. I know it's a very small chance of anything happening, but I just want to see, I'm just out of my own curiosity, I want to see the Suns play some basketball again this year. And whether it's an abbreviated version or whatnot, this team has so many intriguing angles on it. DeAndre and improving, Mikal Bridges improving, what Devin Booker and this team could look like if they make a run in the play-in tournament, for example, if that were to be the option to decide it on. There's so many options, at least from my standpoint and from the listener's standpoint, that even if it is an abbreviated version, I just want to see some Suns basketball again. And I'm all for it. And I think that the players likely are too, just because that chance to play basketball again this year in whatever version, I think just would bring a lot of happiness to everyone involved.
To me, the number one case that I feel like I would be making if I was, whether it's James Jones sort of having to make the case to some of these players who are skeptical of this thing, if the Suns are ultimately involved in the structure that the NBA decides on, or, you know, if I'm a player trying to convince my teammates, whatever. To me, like, it might sound simple, but I think the team is so young that any experience on the floor together is just vital and valuable. And we saw that whenever they had a chance to win any game that they played this season, and that would still be true. I agree. I said it before, like, you know, this isn't going to be the 99 Knicks where suddenly the Suns are in the finals and we're wondering what happened. I think the NBA is going to make sure that we don't get, they're very skeptical. Every report has said so, that they don't want an asterisk on this year's title. They want to make it as close to real as possible. I think that'll mean how we watch it as fans and how it's organized for these guys. So I don't think the Suns are going to pull off something miraculous, but I just think any time they can play organized, competitive NBA basketball together is vital. And to me, that the number one part of that is DeAndre Ayton. I think it would be a real disappointment if his season were to end the way that it did, with between the suspension and the injury. Only playing less than 40 games would just be a really disappointing end to his second season in the NBA. And going into year three, they just would not have a lot of information on the guy. And that's difficult. And like you said, selfishly, I want to watch him. I want to see what happens. I want to watch the progress that he was making. He was playing so well in the spring that I think I would love to see him see that out, even if it's just for, you know, another little mini training camp and maybe a handful of regular season or tournament games. But the other question I had from the Suns' perspective for you was, how would you handle the injury side of this? Because, you know, I was on that Frank Kaminsky call and he basically said, he's had to do injury rehab on his own. I mean, he's been doing basically, sounded like, almost daily, if not more often, calls with the Suns training staff, but he had to make a little setup in his backyard and buy training equipment and all this stuff. And that I wouldn't trust that, you know, and Frank Kaminsky is maybe the least consequential. I mean, you also in the Suns building have Kelly Oubre, who is recovering from a much more serious injury, or at least a surgery, which is more serious. and around the whole NBA, but just from the Suns' perspective, how would you handle that? Would you just say, like, these guys are not even going to be involved here? We're just going to, you know, go forward with the guys who were playing, and we're really just going to dedicate more time to making sure their rehab was good? Would you try to bring them on the court if they're healthy? How would you handle that part of it?
Yeah, I think for those injuries specifically with Kaminsky and Oubre and those players who have injuries around the league, they should have like an extra 2-3 grace period as far as coming at the facility a little bit earlier, maybe having a month or a 6-week startup period for them instead of the usual 2-week or 4-week version they're going to have for the other players in the scenario if they were to come back. And maybe if they don't clear the Suns trainers, if they have the extra period of time together just with the trainers and really honing in on that rehab ability, I think it makes sense to do something like that. But I do wonder, just as far as with how it might go, if it's like a summer league format, you start earlier in the day, crazy scheduling, how that could do to an injury that happened very recently and it was rehab by the own person for a lot of it. So I do have questions about that, but I think like maybe extended warm period for those types of players makes some sense to me.
I would be, you know, particularly cautious, but I do agree. I mean, if a guy's healthy to play, they're healthy to play. They're athletes. They go through injuries all the time. Yes, this is an extenuating circumstance, but you know, this is still, you can't pretend like this never happened. You got to move forward in whatever way you see fit. So I would hope that they could make it work too. You know, if I was the Suns, I might be a little bit more cautious just because, again, the upside for them isn't quite as great. You know, Frank Kaminsky, you know, for him, it's tough because he has a contract option, a player option this summer that the Suns are going to have to decide on. And Kelly Oubre going into year two of his 2-year deal, maybe a little bit less. So it's going to be case by case is probably the boring answer, but I do think it's going to be a very important, and I hope that it doesn't cause any problems because around the NBA, this thing is going to get very interesting with whether it's a Ben Simmons, a Victor Oladipo, players who are dealing with pretty serious stuff, but now have had this Jonathan Isaac extra 2 months of waiting and rehabbing and healing that could put them in play to be part of this thing. It's going to be fun if they can make it work, but the last thing anyone wants is the worsening of an injury because of this whole situation.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you there. And I think the last thing we should close on here, you mentioned it a little bit in the last segment about the 82-game option. That's a very, very rare circumstance, probably the least likely here. But would you be on board with maybe a summer league format of that for the Suns as far as maybe a play-in tournament for those teams that can maybe reach 82? Like they play some extra games. I know it's an unfair advantage to the other teams in the playoffs, but maybe that's how you get to your playoff seeding scenarios, so to say.
I kind of feel, to me, as much as I said that my preference is some sort of play-in thing, that's mostly from an excitement standpoint. I just think it's obviously I'm going to love NBA basketball in whatever shape that it comes back in. We're all going to be excited to see it, but it would be sort of boring, to be honest, to watch a very slow ramping up over the course of handful of regular season games, like, you know, Suns, Timberwolves with a bunch of guys out of precaution, or, you know, guys playing low minutes like that. That would not be the most exciting thing in the world. I think to me, though, that's the only way the Suns get involved in this thing. I think they fell too far in the standings where it doesn't look like very many of the formats they're considering for a play-in tournament or group stage thing is going to go all the way down to the bottom of the barrel of the standings. The Suns are 13th right now, and they're clearly 13th. You know what I mean? They're not really, as far as I can remember, right? They're not tied with anybody.
No, they're not. They're I think a game back of everyone else.
Yeah, they're one back in the win column from San Antonio, three back in the loss column. So like they're clearly a step behind. I wonder if that might actually just be the delineation, because that's four teams, that's an even number. And I don't know. I think if there was a play-in tournament, of course I would want the Suns to be in there. I want to talk about the Suns. I want to, you know, enjoy it with our fans, but I also I don't necessarily know if the Suns would make that cutoff. The way I've been operating is the only way the Suns are involved in this thing is if they really just fully resume the regular season and every team comes back.
I think we covered most of the bases on this latest news-related episode, Brennan. And I appreciate everyone listening on our podcast for our Monday episode. We'll be with you guys on Wednesday to talk some more Suns basketball as we get closer and closer to the NBA season resuming in some sort of capacity.